Today was the day. This was the day that the conservative hacks were going to unveil the truth. They were going to bring out the woman. They were going to trot her out. The woman who claimed that Robert Mueller sexually assaulted her. She was going to be there. They promised. She didn't show up. And probably, I mean, this is the most inept attempt at smearing someone. And I hope they go to jail. I'm sure the one will be very popular. I was looking for fireworks. I was looking for something. And, well, nothing. Nothing really. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the attempted smear and what may happen, our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, happy Thursday or Friday to me.
There you go. So this Berkman and this Wall, I guess, or whatever his name is, tried this smear. I can only assume it is a smear because the woman didn't bother to show up who was supposed to have made the accusation, right?
There was a giant inflatable Donald Trump rat, but that was really all that showed up. He did, Jacob Wall did tweet out that he said a mob was being bussed in. And I zoomed in on the photo of the bus and saw the logo. The logo is actually not a charter bus, but a higher end regional bus for people. It goes to like three different stops throughout the Maryland, DC, and Virginia metro areas. Right. And that area is where the bus parks whenever it's picking up people in Virginia and Arlington. It was a transit bus that was fancy. It wasn't a charter bus for protesters, but good try.
Hey, you know, look, if you're going to make up a claim, you know, you might as well go all the way, right?
Right. I mean, he was just slinging all sorts of crazy conspiracy theories. I will say, though, given the dedication of the reporters who unearthed all of this information, it makes me feel really good about other crazy conspiracy theories that people have where, you know, at the very least, thankfully, the national media is smart and can do research and superimpose photos on top of each other and be able to tell what is fake and what is not.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just kind of, you know, childish. I mean, you know, really amateur is something you'd expect from a high school student. But, you know, look, the guy isn't much out of high school.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think a lot of people who don't have a lot of experience and who come from a world that is just filled with conspiracy theories. And I mean, this young person, I don't want to say kid because he's obviously an adult. His first election was Donald Trump's election. So this is one of those things where I feel like his exposure to actual politics is probably a little bit skewed from the reality.
Yeah. You know, what I find interesting is one of the accusations he made against the reporters is that they were harassing his mother. And you go, well, you know, when you make your mother's voicemail, you know, the contact for your made up corporation, people tend to want to call that.
Yeah. It's your own fault there, buddy. Don't send people back to your poor mother. My favorite thing actually out of all of that was, I don't know if you've seen that somebody started a Twitter account that was like Jacob Wall's mom, which every time somebody cites their mother, anytime like some right-wing crazy right. person cites their mother, inevitably somebody starts a Twitter account.
Sure. No, I mean, I had a friend who started Scott Wagner's chopper, you know.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because he was up in the helicopter, you know, and said everything at that school down there looks fine because, hey, the grass is cut. So, you know, every tragedy, you know, hey, I'm up in my chopper. Everything looks great down there. So I get it. You know, there's
Mitt Romney's dog on the roof, the prancing horse. I mean, there are all sorts of crazy things.
I think that you need the comedy.
You definitely need the comedy. If we don't laugh, then we're going to cry and that doesn't get anybody anywhere. At least if you ridicule somebody, you take them down a notch, hopefully. But yeah, no, somebody started a Twitter account for his mom and then people were tweeting it at him saying, hey, your mom's looking for you.
Get out of mom's basement.
Oops.
But you know, here's the weird thing. I mean, you know, they couldn't even decide on how to spell this poor woman's name. And you got to wonder, you know, this woman, what's going to happen to her?
Yeah. I don't know if they made up the woman. I don't know if this is a real person. It's entirely
possible.
Blow up
doll. Yeah. I mean, good point.
Because it's something where they may think, you know, we'll find somebody eventually who's willing to do this. So right now we're just going to create a fake person who says, oh, I'm too scared to appear. Which is a reasonable thing that a woman would say in that situation. Given the fact that he created so many other fake people, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing. I mean, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, the right wing was, you know, screaming and carrying on about, well, you know, they made up Christine Blasey Ford. She made all this stuff up. So you knew it was predictable that they were going to make something up, that they were going to lie about something. Because, look, I look at Mueller, and probably the last person on this planet that sexually harassed anybody is Mueller. And I forget who the comedian was who said he probably hasn't even touched his own butt. I agree with that.
Right. He just seems like the most asexual, yes, most boring person on the face of the planet. Like somebody who would, you know, read Reader's Digest, you know, at lunchtime and, you know, that kind of guy.
But you go through it and you go, even, you know, the story that they made up was just, you know, ludicrous. That was easily debunked. I mean, you know, I guess the hotel that it supposedly happened at, there was no room where they said a room exists. I guess it's the gym. Jury duty, that, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I think Mueller handled it right, saying, look, I want the FBI to investigate it. And I said, look, I hope the FBI investigates it. And they throw these two pinheads in jail.
Right. I mean, this is one of those things that we always go back to. If you're not afraid of an investigation, then let's just have the FBI investigate it. That's what we said about Christine Blasey Ford. That's what we say about Mueller. And if the FBI finds out that these accusations were all manifested from somebody's posterior, then they can take action against the posterior.
Yeah, they reached around to the dark side of the moon and popped out a winner, right?
Yeah, boom.
A golden nugget. I don't know why I went there. But finally on this one, they were asked if they were ready to go to jail. And they had a simple answer.
I didn't even know that.
No, they're not ready to go to jail. And they should be. They actually should be. Let's move on. I guess we're going to be sending upwards of 15,000 people eventually, according to Trump's speech today, to the border to, you know, to stop those, what was it, rabies, lice, smallpox.
Leprosy.
Leprosy. That's the one I always forget. It's been so long since anybody's been a leper. But we got all these lepers, you know, limping their way to the border. We need to send armed troops who can shoot these people when they throw rocks.
It's positively biblical if you think about it. I mean, you just expect that somehow the military is going to arrive and there be a plague of immigrants have fallen upon them. And realistically, I think by the time they get there, they're estimating maybe
a couple hundred.
At most. Yeah, like they're just saying a couple hundred. I think it's down to, somebody said 1,600, because initially it was 7,000 with 2,300 children. And that was when they were at the Honduran border. And I think they've gone like, what, less than 100 miles? And yeah, Already it's down just above 1,000. So by the time they get to the border, there probably will not be that many people. Also, you have to look at the port of entry. If they go to Texas, you're still looking at, it'll be after Thanksgiving by the time they get there. If they decide that they want to do the port of entry in San Diego, you're looking at like New Year's.
Yeah, well, but hey, you got to be prepared. Got to be prepared.
The thing that kills me is this isn't just about the migrants. This is a terrible story. They are obviously trekking across an entire country, which is horrifying and sad. We're sending people's troops during the holiday, like family members during the holidays, just to sit there on the border and wait for these people. And today we find out that the Minutemen are going to show up too. So now the soldiers have to deal with migrants coming over and the Minutemen going crazy and deciding that they're going to start firing randomly. What if a soldier mistakes one of the Minutemen for, you know, a migrant?
I'm okay with that.
But this just presents a crazy possibility. People could get hurt.
But that's what Trump wants, isn't it? I mean, look, it sells.
I don't think it would sell if he shot a Minuteman. You know, like, I just feel like if one of the Minutemen was just like drunk, aimlessly wandering through the desert, and he got shot by a Border Patrol agent, that would probably look bad.
Well, they'd spin it as it was one of those rock-throwing lepers who did it.
the thing that is so crazy is the smallpox thing. Like,
as if leprosy wasn't bad enough, you know.
Well, the thing about smallpox, I mean, never mind that it was eradicated in the 80s, I think even before I was born.
Yeah.
But there are only two cases of smallpox left that the CDC has in a vault. Literally no person, no drug company, no pharmaceutical company, nobody has access to smallpox except for the CDC. So if somebody's got smallpox, then that's, where did that come from?
Well, you know what? Maybe
Fox News.
Maybe it was.
That's my conspiracy.
Maybe Fox has the breaking story after all.
I've
also heard they've got head lice. So, another reason to shoot them. But you know, you brought up biblical, and it made me think about. Did you see the story of the state representative from Washington, who evidently wrote up this manifesto for a holy war?
Oh my God, how did I not see this?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was one of these things where I'm just going, the guy's name's Matt Shea, he's a Washington state representative, and the manifesto, it's a four-page thing, is the biblical basis for war. And he goes through, in great detail in bullet point, who's going to be okay, and no more gay marriage, no more abortion, follow God's law or you will be smited.
So yeah. It's Christian Sharia.
Exactly. And I've been saying this for the longest time. Ever since Sharia came up, I go, look, Mike Pence scares the hell out of me because he would bring in Christian Sharia law. And this is one of these guys, and these people have infested our state legislators across the country and infested Congress. But, I looked at this, and this is just one of those, the Christian warrior thing that just scares the you-know-what out of me.
Scares the bejesus out of you.
Exactly, because these folks are well-armed. God wants them to have guns. I remember the first time I heard that God believed God wanted the Second Amendment. And I'm going, what?
These are people who clearly don't read their Bible.
Yeah.
Read the red text. Only focus on the red text. Kind of avoid that Old Testament part.
Yeah. I mean,
it's white supremacist anyway. So you don't want that part anyway.
It was just, it's just crazy. I mean, you got to take a look at this, though. I mean, it's just one of those things that just, wow.
It sounds actually like somebody that we have in Oklahoma. They have people like that all the time.
No, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. But he's just one of those bizarre. Someone found, and he admitted to it, and give him credit. He, yep, I said it. All right then, let's move along. Donald Trump on Tuesday went to Pittsburgh. People that I talked to, nobody wanted him there. In fact, there was a petition sent to him. I think it was a plus, 60 plus thousand people.
76,000 was the last I saw. It's growing too. It like just keeps growing, even though he's already been.
Yeah, we talked to a guy from Bend the Arc, Pittsburgh, yesterday, and he was saying, we didn't want him there, at that moment. Come when people are done grieving. Come when, we've buried if you have to. But it really was about him, wasn't it?
It was about him. And that was one of the things that Michael D'Antonio, one of the Trump biographers, said, is that this was one of those moments where Trump needed to go. He needed to be seen there. At the same time, he's got weeks full. The next week is full of tons of different rallies that are already booked and, airplane hangars with risers just waiting for him. And so it was more of a convenience factor, I think, than anything. But he needed that photo op. He wanted to go, he wants his message, his closing argument to be this caravan and to be immigration and to be the wall, because that's what he gets the most, cheers for. So this just did not work in with his messaging strategy. So he needed to get his photo op done. He needed to get out of the way so that he could move on with his campaign and release his disgusting racist ad and false ad and go to his rallies.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things again. But Sarah, the liberals are going to kill you.
The liberals who are all about peace and community and safe spaces, and they call us snowflakes, but we're going to kill you, apparently.
Going to kill you. And I found
first, we're going to give you free health care. And we're going to make sure you have all the education that you want and probably socialized brunch as well. But after all of that, Then we'll kill you.
After all of that. Yeah. Then we'll kill you after your belly's full and you're taken care of. But not only will we kill you, we'll bring you back to life because you'll have health care.
Yeah.
You know, you look at this, going back to the Pittsburgh shooting, the one thing that, you know, really stood out to me is the guy who did, you know, the coward who did the shooting, the maggot who did that, went to a Jewish hospital where the doctor, the nurse, the arriving paramedic, and the guy who runs the hospital are all Jewish.
Yeah.
And
talk about
they took care of him.
Yeah. I mean, poetic justice.
And nobody stuck their finger in the wound to torture him, to get any answers. You know, none of that.
Or just poked him for the hell of it.
Well, or for just the hell of it, you know.
Or dressed him up in a wig when he was under and took pictures.
Now, don't give them any ideas on the right, because you know now they're going to want to start doing that. Now, I mean, you know, they're going to set up, first we're setting up fake sexual harassment claims, and next they're going to be pulling that crap, all because of you.
I'm an enabler with my crazy ideas. This is a thing that that I've loved watching over the last week. Everything with the people in the community and the outpouring of love and care and kindness. And I feel like every mass shooting has that, but there is something really special about this community that I feel like stands out a little bit. And I don't know if it's the beauty of the faith. I'm not the most faithful person in the world, but when it comes to people who practice a form of grace and peace, and love, it was a beautiful thing to watch people come together. Yeah. And, I wouldn't expect anything more from people like doctors and surgeons who's, you know, take an oath to do no harm. And, you know, it goes back to, the doctor who set, Booth's leg after he shot, Lincoln, you know, and the doctor's name was Mud. And so your name was Mud, like that became the thing. And they tried to throw him in jail. And he said, no, this is part of my oath as a doctor. I don't approve of this guy. I didn't support him, but my job is to heal the sick. And so I did.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, honest people of faith, I have great respect for. And, you know, you look at that community who, you know, you're right. There was no anger. There was no vengeance, none of that, which is, you know, a departure from what you see on the radical right. Mm-hmm. With the fire and the brimstone. And it reminds me of, you know, it's been a while, but, you know, right when we first moved to where we're at now, there was a shooting at a school down in Lancaster, just south of us, at an Amish school where some lunatic went in and, killed all these kids for no real apparent reason. And then ended up killing himself. And the parents in the community, not just, you know, outwardly forgave him, but actually helped to take care of his family, his wife and his children, because, you know, obviously, you know, they're without a breadwinner and, you know, all of this stuff. And I just remember going, you know, that's what religion and faith, if you truly believe in God and you believe in the message, that's the message.
That's what the state senator in Washington state needs to learn.
Exactly. I mean, it's just I don't have that kind of faith, and I would want retribution, and at least I think I would. But, you know, I give them credit.
And it's funny because it really didn't fit along with Donald Trump's decision to talk about the angry mob, because, you know, when you have thousands of people marching through the streets of Pittsburgh singing songs, not an angry mob.
Yeah. Let's move on. They caught the maggot bomber. Did you see the hate mobile?
I did. And I zoomed in to try and look at every detail on those photos, because there were a bunch of people that weren't named.
Right.
I mean, like Hillary and John Kerry and people like that, everybody knew about. But Michael Moore was on there. I was really surprised that at the amount of detail that he had on.
Yeah. How does that not draw attention, though? How does someone not go, that guy's a little crazy, maybe we should watch him?
There was a police report that I read today, I think it was the maybe the Miami Times or something like that, that it was just a blurb that said that he was stopped before. They found him sleeping in his van outside of an LA Fitness, and that they couldn't figure out what the hell he was doing there. So they knocked on the van and talked to him for a minute. And he was like, well, I just worked a really late shift and I wanted to go to the gym, but I'm exhausted. So, you know, I just wanted to take a quick nap before I go in there. And that was his excuse and they let him go. And it's just one of those things where obviously, like, they noted in the police report that he had a van covered in all of these stickers and saying all of these things. And he didn't seem, you know, out of the ordinary, other than the fact that he was sleeping in his van outside of an LA Fitness.
And driving a hate mobile.
Right. So it's just one of those things where I don't know that that would be probable cause.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, just somebody should be keeping an eye on those folks. But, you know, what I found interesting is all the people immediately, you know, when the story broke that these bombs were being sent around, false flag. Mm-hmm. You know, picking up the Alex Jones thing and even, you know, someone like Geraldo Rivera, yeah, who you would go, you know, you've been around this gig long enough. You should know better than to open your mouth.
And he prefaced what he was saying with, I don't want to be a right wing lunatic, but here's my right wing lunatic commentary. And then literally 24 hours later, they find the guy. And it's like, no, Geraldo. And what makes matters worse is Geraldo's daughter is like a producer at CNN. It's like, dude, your own kid is over there having bombs sent to her office. Like, tone it down.
You know, and I look at someone like Geraldo and I go, you know, is it that he, and I ask this question about a lot of these pundits because I've met a lot of them over the years. I've met Alex Jones a couple of times. And it's one of those things where, do they really believe the hate and the rhetoric that they're spewing? Or is it that they're just saying it to get a rise, to get attention, to, hey, look at me, because that's the gig. Do they really believe it? Or is it just part of the paying shtick? And I think if it's the part of the paying shtick, I think you're much worse and much more devious and much more despicable than if you actually truly believe the vile crap you spew.
I agree. I think that Alex Jones, I mean, we saw his divorce proceedings where he admitted that all of it was just fake and it was a personality. People over the years have said that Glenn Beck is all just full of crap. I don't know about Geraldo. I think when it comes to somebody like Tommy Lauren, you know, she probably is a little bit more legitimate. But people like Ann Coulter, and these are actually smart people who I don't believe for a second actually believe what they say, what they're saying. They're just manipulating the right wing so that they can make money off of it.
Yeah, it's all in how much cash they can put in their pocket. That's the scary thing to me.
Do you see the report today that Tommy Lauren is worth about $3 million?
Yeah,
all from Facebook videos?
Just amazing to me.
We're in the wrong business.
I am most certain. I need to turn to be a right winger and just spew hate and vile crap all the time and cash in.
It makes me think of the show on Comedy Central with the fake Alex Jones character. And it's so funny. And if you look at it, if you look at Alex Jones through the lens of comedy, then it's hilarious. But it's the reality that makes it so scary.
What was that? What was that Andy Griffith movie? What was the name of that? He played a character, Dusty Road. What was the name of that movie? A Face in the Crowd, I think it was what it was called, where, you know, he was just, you know, he was just, you know, whatever people wanted to hear. And, you know, at the end, his producer got so tired of him that he'd gotten so, you know, big and so just obnoxious that she left the microphone up, that while he's smiling and strumming along, he's talking about how stupid the people are who are watching and how they're all a bunch of dupes. And this was back in the 50s. But it fits for today.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And you have to wonder if Donald Trump is saying the same thing behind the scenes.
And finally, Kanye.
Okay, I'm going to say it. Bless his heart.
Kanye's exiting stage left, I guess. No more politics for Kanye.
Oh my God. A friend of mine sent me a screen capture of all of the tweets and said, this is what happens when you forget to take your Lexapro for a day and then you take it again. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, did I just do that? Oopsie.
I think it's funny that he got used as a tool.
He did get used as a tool, which he just set himself up for. I mean, come on. And you have to think, like, this is Candace Owens from Fox News, who's a pretty wretched human being to begin with. So you pal around with those people, they're going to take advantage of you.
But here's the thing that, you know, look, I mean, you know, she's bright. I mean, she, you know, what the right does better than the left is they know how to cash in. And, you know, she's got this, you know, this Blexit clothing line. She used Kanye West's name to pimp it out to the poor people. Cause maybe, hey, maybe they'll stand in line at 3 o'clock in the morning to buy whatever crap she's spewing.
She was smart enough to know not to put her name on it.
Exactly.
And instead was like, hey, put this hat on and take a picture for me, and then pushed it out, which is just so sketchy to begin with. And, you know, Kanye is probably not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I feel like his wife probably knows a heck of a lot more about business than he does, which is odd, but there you go.
Why? So are you saying, you know, women aren't smarter than men?
Well, you wouldn't really think of a Kardashian being that genius, but she's a hell of a businesswoman, I guess.
Is that who he's married to? Tells you how much I know or care.
Right. So I just feel like he needs to get a clue.
Well, like you said, bless his heart.
I hope he's on meds. I really do. I hate to see somebody having like an episode live and on TV and being taken advantage of like that. Like, I want to laugh at him, but at the same time, like, my empathy receptor is like, oh, honey, no.
I'm hoping he was off his meds while all this was going on. I'm hoping that isn't him on his meds.
Yeah, no, you could tell based on the level of like the ups and downs. Like, that is not normal. That is somebody who definitely has a manic personality disorder. And
there you go. But no more MAGA wearing hat. No more Kanye.
Which is probably smart. I think it's a bad business decision in that industry.
You think?
Like, those people aren't going to listen to his music, right? They're not going to, maybe they'll buy a song because they think, oh, I should support him. And then they listen to it and they're like, oh, God, no. Bring me back my oldies and my goodies and my Conway Twitty and whatever.
Wow. Going all the way back. Going old school. All right.
I know. I just cite Conway Twitty when I think about my grandpa.
Yeah, my grandmother as well. Big fan. There you go. Sarah, always great talking with you. I appreciate the time. Lots of fun.
Good to see you. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out her reporting. She does great work there at Raw Story. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. On the clock.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard. Remember